Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer, weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Bob Stauffer with you. Special thanks today to Sarah Fox and Kellen Kennedy, who are splitting the pinch-hitting duties with the absence of Brendan Escott, who's hopefully back at it tomorrow for us on Oilers Now. It is a Tuesday. It is a game night. The Edmonton Oilers are in action against the Minnesota Wild. We'll tell you the guests on the show receive gift certificates to Roost Chris Steakhouse, whether you're celebrating a special moment or simply savoring a night on the town. Every meal is an occasion at Roost Chris Steakhouse. It's the greatest steak you've ever had. Tell Brendan Chris. I used to work with Chris. Oh, boy, I'm going to be dating myself now. 1988, 89. So that would be 33 years ago. 33 years
what
ago.
What place, Bob?
At Red Robin, when Red Robin was actually...
Existed.
And was pretty popular in the late 80s first came to town. Brendan, Chris, and Taylor. We worked with Taylor over at what's now TSN Radio.
Okay.
Yeah, Taylor Medic. He used to work great sure. guy. So, small town Edmonton, Mark. You end up working with a lot of people that you see along the way. Anyhow, Roost Chris, 9990 Jasper Avenue. Every meal is an occasion at Roost Chris Steakhouse.
Best restaurant job I ever had, Bob. Sidetrack Cafe. Oh, 16 years old, busboy all summer long.
Oh, yeah?
Hear some tunes in that place all summer.
Oh. On Sunday night?
Got drunk with David Wilcox one time.
Oh, yeah? But the sidetrack, like, it was... I'm just drunk or something else before it was legalized as well?
Yeah, never mind.
Yeah. Anyhow, what a surprise. You do remember I did plant trees for a lot of years.
Mark. You never mentioned that, Bob.
I've never mentioned that, but, you know, I never really got into that whole thing. You know, I don't like smoke. So, you know, I'd rather drink, actually. That I understand. And in weather like this today, it's complete.
Oh, boy.
It's just checking if we tested that coffee that you got going on.
Yeah, no, it's good black coffee.
I need Wayne from the Edmonton operation or Glenn. Or Keith to maybe send me an annual case of the
Gretzky Distillery.
Yes, always love it. Mark Spector is here for the horses and horse racing Alberta, brought to you by the 7,000 men and women that are employed in the horse racing and breeding industry. Of course, we've got Century Mile Racetrack. You can go there to watch at various different times of the year, the thoroughbreds or standardbreds, and you can always watch and wager online at hbibet.com. Mark. It was ugly here the other night against LA. I mean, it was a strange game because Edmonton kind of almost had a chance. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, the 5-1 score, maybe it flattered LA a little, but the Oilers were terrible. Think about it this way. If I had told you final score, 5-1 LA over Edmonton, shots 39-22 LA over Edmonton, you would have said, Stoff, is that a game from 2012 to 2014 when the Kings were dominant? But that's what it ended up being, and it wasn't pretty, was it?
No, and you know, it is funny, because the fact that it was 2-1 with 6 minutes to play and ended up 5-1, you'd say, oh, it wasn't a 5-1 game. But if you watch the game, LA put on a clinic from start to finish. It was a 5-1 game. They just scored three of their goals on the power play at the very end. But LA came in here, and you know what? It was a really good thing, Bob. You know, the Oilers have had a few of those games where they start slow and they hang around and they scramble late with Draisaitl and McDavid on the same line like the night in Seattle. They almost got to overtime, and they couldn't rescue this one, and they didn't deserve to rescue this one. And I'll say to you, Bob, that game film, that game plan that Todd McClellan's club used the other night, until they can consistently beat that game plan by various different teams around the league are going to play that way against Edmonton, right? 4-5-man units. They absolutely put on a defensive clinic. They clogged the neutral zone. They slowed down the big boys. that is the game plan that Edmonton has to learn how to beat on a regular basis if they're going somewhere, and you might as well start early, Bob.
Well, they played a 1-3-1, and the Oilers, and in fairness to Edmonton, they've got three of their top six defensemen out of the lineup. So that is going to affect their transition game. I felt their forwards were too separated from the defense. Yep. There was a disengagement
so
there.
So did Dave Tippett think that. Yes.
And it resulted in L.A. having, you know, creating some turnovers and creating some chances.
Yep.
I didn't like the second goal against by Koskinen, but Fogle gives the puck away, and then Ryan's in chase mode defensively.
Well, and that's, and you know what? In all fairness, the goal that Dale Nurse got shouldn't have gone in either.
Right.
But Edmonton traded bad goals.
5-on-5, the Oilers created virtually nothing against Lawson. Yeah. The first power play, they had lots of looks, and Quick made some good saves.
It's good for them to lose that game in Game 23, Bob, because there is no question. Like that, we're going to watch that game plan get employed by lots of teams.
Yeah.
Lots. That's how you beat Edmonton. LA just showed everybody. This is how you beat the Oilers. The Oilers got to get past that and figure out how to play that game.
Yeah,
that's all there is to it.
Well, Pittsburgh did it differently. They came in and they lost, but Pittsburgh hard forechecked Edmonton and had a lot of the territorial play. Probably shouldn't have been tied at 2-2.
Nope,
and
they were better in the first 40.
And then they
not in the last 20.
The Oilers ramped it up. Against Seattle, I mean, three. Let's put it this way, Mark. Three straight games in a row, the Oilers in the first period were not very good.
Yeah. And digging a big hole and trying to climb out of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, they almost did in Seattle. I mean, how many nights is Drysdale going to have all those chances in the third not score one?
Right.
Almost never.
Yeah.
But you know what? You just can't count on that every night. You gotta.
Now, what's interesting here? I talked about this in the opening. The numbers are almost the same: goals for, goals against, between these two teams, but they do it completely different. Edmonton's got the best combined special teams in the NHL. Minnesota's power play has been abysmal. They're 29th in the league at 13.9%. But 5-on-5, they're good. They're real good. And they could just roll them over. And they're way faster than the team we saw in here a couple of years ago that still had guys like Koivu. I mean, Billy Guerin stepped up, made a real gutsy decision in terms of Parisian suitor spec. They're on the books for 2.3 each this year. The next 3 years, 6.3, 7.3, and 7.3 million each.
Oh boy.
That's $14 million in dead cap space, you know.
If you can put a winner on the ice with all that dead cap space, you're doing a good job. Billy's done a great job there, I think. Good for him. First GM job, and look what he's got this team doing, man.
Yeah, well, and
good
and,
job.
And it's funny because I Minnesota's not a team, I think, that a lot – they're not a sexy team around the league.
Never,
is that fair?
Never will be.
Right. They're just not – I mean, the Oilers
have –
Mark, the Oilers have a team where – and the players better realize this – everybody in the league gets up to play Edmonton because they got McDavid and Draisaitl.
Yep.
This is not, Bob, you're an Edmonton, you're an idiot, you're saying, no, this is just the reality of the situation. You're the two top scorers in the league. What do you think Drew Doughty's thinking when he gets a chance to go up? He's chirping them the entire game going up, right? Those guys, players have pride. They get, but the Oilers players better realize everybody's getting ready to play us. Everybody.
Right. So here's an example. I saw some footage out of Winnipeg's dressing room after they beat Toronto the other night.
Yeah.
And Mark Scheifele, you know, everyone has it looks like a pilot's helmet or something that they give to the players in the game. And Scheifele stood up and was dropping some F-bombs and yelling and screaming. But the point he was making was, it is so awesome. I forget what he said, but I love beating Toronto. And you could tell, those guys, they just beat Toronto. It had been a physical game and one of those ones that players love to win. That's nasty. But the point I'm making here is that Edmonton has nothing to do with this. The Winnipeg Jets loved beating Toronto. He gave that helmet to Logan Stanley, and he basically said something about Toronto that I wouldn't say on the air. And they're saying the same thing about the Oilers in the other dressing rooms. You don't think they love beating McDavid and Draisaitl and all the hype machine coming out of here and the two top scorers and the flashy Oilers and blah, blah, blah? You don't think other teams love coming in here like LA did the other night? Are you kidding?
You don't think Todd McClellan doesn't like coming in here?
Good for Todd.
And devising a strategy to do it.
Get used to it.
We're going
to
circle back to the Oilers in a second. Winnipeg and Toronto, that game turned nasty. Two-game suspension already for Pionk.
Yes.
And now Winnipeg's saying that he's going to be out with a concussion-like symptoms. We'll see how long that goes for.
He'll serve his suspension.
Yes, and we'll see how many more games he misses after that.
And we'll see if he really has a concussion because he can't play anyway.
Or whether or not they're just trying to reinforce and make it for Jason Spezza. I have received some flack here. Some people didn't like my take. I just said that, believe me, that the guys in the Toronto dressing room would have loved the response from Jason Spezza going after Neil Pionkle. And people, oh, it was a cheap shot. He needed him when he was down.
He did, and it was. And they would have loved it.
Right. Because you know what? Pionk gets guys all the time in the trolley tracks. And
he stuck his knee out on Sandin. Pionk's not a dirty player. He's just a hard player to play against. And we've watched him play against McDavid, and he's a tough guy to play against.
And then people are like, well, why didn't Spezza square up and go with him? I'm like, I don't think Pionk's taken that. Like, Archibald worked him over a couple years ago. And
Pionk, I don't see Pionk fighting anybody.
Spezza will fight anybody in his career. He has fought.
Sure.
And
Spezza lost it, and he did something dumb, and I'll bet you he gets 5 games. It's very
but
hard
he to defended a teammate.
He did.
As a bottom six forward.
He did.
That's, and you know, the
in
Leafs
a pretty dirty, dangerous way. Like, that's not Jason Spezza, right? Come on, the guy's not that player. He saw a chance to knee a player.
They have passion and care about one another. And you know, people have talked about the Leafs being an easy mark. Richie hasn't given Toronto much so far this year. Yep. They picked up Clifford. They've got Simmons. That's not a team you can push around anymore.
I agree. The Leafs are, maybe they're figuring it out. And let's hope they do. But
it's too good
a team to watch them leave every spring after one round. Come on. It's a pretty good hockey team. It's Toronto Maple Leafs. The hockey, I always say, is a better place when the Leafs are getting something done. And I think we've watched the movie enough times, Bob, where they go in as the favorite and lose in the first round. I'd like to see another ending here at some point, wouldn't you?
Yeah. For both teams, absolutely. Yeah. So, all right. It is 12:45. Sarah, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take about a two-minute break here. And when we come back, we're going to transition in terms of maybe the Leafs changing a bit of their identity and talking about players getting out of their comfort level to stick up for one another on the ice and relate that to the situation that Edmonton's got going on in their bottom six. It is 12:45, and you are listening to Oilers Now live from Rogers Place. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, a popular member of the Edmonton Oilers, he'd be the first to tell you he's got to have more than 2 goals in his first 23 games this season. He's close to a point per game, but he's got to score some more goals. You've got Yamamoto and Nugent-Hopkins playing with the NHL scoring leader. They've got 7 combined goals between the two of them. Now, Hyman and Puljujärvi have played with McDavid, and they've got 18 on the year, which is you'll totally run with. For you Oilers fans out there, if you're looking for a great road trip, you can join New West Travel on a 4-nighter to Music City, Smashville, Nash Vegas, Nashville, Tennessee, to see the Oilers play the Preds. This package includes nonstop flights with Flair Airs, 4 nights. It's Flair Airlines, so it's a direct flight from Edmonton to Nashville. 4 nights in the deluxe hotel. We got a game ticket. We're going to have a welcome reception with special guests, all for just $1,750. Join the new Nashville Roadie. You can call 780-432-7446 or go online at newwesttravel.com. Should mention, the folks flew back from Seattle yesterday. Hopefully everybody made it okay and nobody got arrested. That's all I'm going to say. I doubt it. I saw the group. It was a pretty clean living, fun group of people. So hope you had a wonderful time in Seattle for everybody that made their way. I know we've already sold about 45 or 50 people for the upcoming Nashville trip, and that is not till April. Let's get into the Oilers Injury Report brought to you by James H. Brown. Injury lawyers, Trent Brown, Jim Brown, the gang at James H. Brown. Unrivaled experience, unrivaled commitment, unrivaled results. Trent Brown, arguably, not even arguably for me, probably the best football player produced at the University of Alberta the last 35 years, went on to be a CFL All-Star. For Edmonton, Devin Shore has been activated. He will play tonight on the line of Derek Ryan, Colton Sevier. The Oilers have placed Brendan Perlini on waivers for the purposes of assigning him to the minors. Mike Smith, still out with a lower body issue, but a chance he sees action before Christmas.
A chance, yeah.
It could happen. Duncan Keith is, I think he'll start skating maybe tomorrow. Cody Ceci, who is in COVID protocol, apparently he's been feeling pretty good of late, and if he gets the go-ahead, could hit the ice as early as tomorrow. Not sure he'd be quite ready for Thursday, maybe Saturday. Slater Cuckoo will be out multiple weeks, and the Oilers' defense has been challenged, to say the least. The one guy that has impressed as we bring Mark Spector back in for the horses and horse racing Alberta at 12:50 in Edmonton, Mark, Markus Niemelainen.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing wrong with a 6'5" D-man that's got good gap and likes to hit.
Yeah, right. Likes to play physical and get after a little bit. So, has he passed by William Lagesson on the food chain?
I don't know. Ask Alan Walsh.
Ask Alan Walsh. It sounds to me like he has. You know, I look at him like, you know, you can't just have first pairing defensemen, even though you'd love to have six of them. You're never going to, and you can't just go for those guys. You need to, just as you need to bring along a guy like a Broberg, who in my mind, Bob, to my eye, will one day probably play 750 games next to Evan Bouchard.
Where's Darnell Nurse going to play? He's on an eight-year contract extension.
Well, he'll play with whoever's on the right side there. But to me, those two young guys are married together for a long time, in my eye again. So, too, do you need a guy like Nima Leinen to be your third-pairing guy that kills penalties and, you know, a young, upgraded Russell?
We were having a conversation today and drawing some comparables for Nima Leinen because of his ability to hit and the way he closes on guys. Little bit different body type, not quite as thick. My expectation is Nima Leinen will train at Edmonton this offseason. They'll continue to work on his first step quickness. Mm-hmm. But the physicality, and I mean, he's already crushed some guys over the last three games. Like he got all of Ryan Donato the other night in Seattle. Sunday night here in Edmonton, Dustin Brown, who's an absolute train himself.
Oh, boy.
And that was a big-time hit.
Yeah, and, you know, watching Dustin Brown over all these years, when I think of guys flying around, it's usually Dustin Brown sending a guy in a blue and orange sweater flying around.
And so,
so that's one of the first times in a long time he was the guy on the receiving end.
The guy he reminds me of a bit, Speck, is Braden McNabb. That's what Braden McNabb's hurt a lot of guys in his career because he skates through him when he hits him. He's not a guy. A lot of guys will stop as they're about to hit a guy. It's the guys that skate through you and hit you right in the sternum.
Yeah.
You know, and the difference for Nima Leinen is he's 6'5", and he's going to be 220 pounds or 225 pounds as he gets older.
Take him.
He's got him all day. Mark, he has a chance to be here. This just might not be a temporary recall here. There's a chance, given the dimension he has, that when everybody gets healthy, he's going to be playing instead of a Cuckoo or a Russell. Your thoughts on that?
Well, what you know now and what you'd like to do is get some games under his belt, because we all talk about how, you know, at the trade deadline, do the Oilers need another lefty, right? Well, maybe if you give this guy 40 games,
you have your answer.
Maybe you got your answer. You know, it's like we talk about with Stuart Skinner. Maybe if you give him some time and he gets a little bit better here and gets acclimated, maybe you don't have to go get a goalie. Like, I don't know yet. And I don't know about Nima Leinen yet either, because he's still challenged moving the puck. In today's game, Bob, you can't just be a stay-at-home physical defenseman. The puck's on your stick. You got to do the right thing with it, and you got to do it quickly.
So you have once Keith gets back in, Keith's a 20-minute-a-game defenseman. He's playing 20. I mean, the Oilers have got four guys playing north of 20 minutes, right? Nurse plays 26. Bouchard's playing 21. Keith and CeCe, their second pairing, each playing 20 minutes a game. So you get Keith and CeCe back. You got Nurse with Bouchard. Can you play Nima Leinen and Barry and play them 12 minutes each at even strength, and then Barry's on the power play?
I don't mind that idea.
Right.
And I've got Chris Russell is my seventh guy because he can play either side.
Right.
And Chris Russell, when he's not playing 82 games, he's a real good number seven for me.
Jack pointed out to me I didn't even know this. Jack Michaels, he goes, you know that Russell played five straight games, 22 plus minutes?
Yeah.
And then okay.
Yeah.
I go, actually, no, I knew he was over 20 minutes. I didn't realize it was 22 plus.
Way too much.
And then he looked it up. And Russell had only played five times 22 or more minutes in the previous 100 games.
There you go.
So he was just playing too much. So
and that's how it works. It's you know what? Let's segue to Cassian. Cassian will always give you one or two good games next to Connor McDavid, but he never gives you more than two because he's out of his element. He's a third line guy. That's what he is. It's unfair to take Chris Russell and play him 24 minutes every night, and then we look at him after the fourth game and go, man, he's not very good. Well, no kidding. He's a number seven defenseman at this point.
I just don't like seeing Russell and Barry together because Barry is an offensive defenseman. He's not great defensively.
That was their veteran pair there a few games ago, and they played 25 minutes a
night. They had challenges against Seattle stopping the cycle. And
for sure.
It was just too many minutes for both of them, and that's what happens.
The dam breaks after a while.
We'll get to the forward in a second here. Bouchard has given you something. There's no question.
He's a player now, and we talk about who's going where and who's going up. He's not in those conversations. He's playing for me from now until he's 30 years old.
I mean, he's had 15 points for 23 games in the year. Realistically, I mean, he might get 40 points without playing on their first unit power play. And for a defenseman, that's saying something.
So the offensive side of the game, he's really good, and now he just needs to log some games, Bob. You can't learn the defensive side of the game from anywhere else but the school of hard knocks, pal.
Mark, one more. We'll get to the bottom six forwards in the between 1 and 1:15 today, but I do want to ask you about Alan Walsh. I was a little surprised. Maybe I shouldn't be surprised to see. I will say this about Alan. I said this on yesterday's show. He did it for Marc-Andre Fleury, who was the number one goaltender and a guy I think that was a huge part of Vegas' success. Yep. And he spoke up on Twitter for William Lagesson, who was waived through the entire National Hockey League and is an organization's sort of 8-10 defenseman. So I think he's sending a message to his clients that it's not just the big dogs that he's going to step up for. That said, he aired his grievances
on Twitter right after the game.
So did he? Did he air as in A-I-R or E-R-R-O-R? Which was the error that he made?
I don't think that it matters. Like I don't. Here's what I'll say to you, Bob. Ken Holland doesn't make personnel decisions based on a yappy agent. Dave Tippett, if he felt Lagesson was the guy he wanted to play tonight, he'd play him. He does. His decision isn't affected by what some agent tweeted. So if there's something in this for Al Walsh, who I know and have spoken to many times, and we all get where he's coming from.
Sure.
If there's something in it for him, good for you, great. But to me, it has absolutely no bearing on William Lagesson standing here in the Oilers organization. If William Lagesson's a good player, he's going to play. If he's a number eight, he's got to wait for two guys to get hurt before he's going to play. And that's kind of what he is, man.
Yeah. Well, it's an I wonder, like, a guy like Jerry Johansson, who is, he gets his clients great deals.
Mm-hmm.
But he would never do something like that.
Most agents would.
Right? Like
Alan Watt sticks out here, Bob.
Alan Walsh, yeah.
Oh, sorry, Alan Watt. I like Alan Watt, but, yeah, no, for sure.
Right.
Now, honestly, there's only one Alan Walsh in the agent world right now, and he's kind of the new, you know, when Rich Winter was a big guy, bigger guy, like when he was a big important agent. They didn't have Twitter.
Rich will love hearing that he's not a big important agent anymore.
Back in the day, if they had Twitter, Rich Winter would have taken Alan Walsh to school, pal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The amount of times I've been educated over the years in phone calls with Rich Winter.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, you know, are good agents there to represent his players.
Yeah.
And they're going to, you know, if they know that a guy's...
Yes, for sure.
I'll give you an example right now. Rich has got a guy that I'd like to get to Edmonton. Mason Appleton. He's not really found a role yet with Seattle. He'd be a really good third-line player. When we come back in Oilers Now at 105, Mark Spector and myself will talk about the Oilers' bottom six. Is it a concern? Will it improve? And is there a slight improvement that's going to get adjusted tonight with the return of Devin Shore? Off to a Global News weather traffic update with Eileen Bell.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer, weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.